Hello, I'm John Soutsos, investment advisor with IPC Securities Corporation. A full 5 years have now passed since my first audio message to you, recorded in the midst of the credit crisis market meltdown in October of 2008. Each year, on the anniversary of that first recording on October 6th, 2008, I record another message to help provide perspective on that watershed event in capital markets history. The impact of the 2008 credit crisis resulted in the most significant economic recession in U.S. history since the Great Depression of the 1930s. Not all countries in the world were impacted equally. Some felt it more than others. Here in Canada, our economy weathered that financial storm better than others. While in Europe, it set off a series of events that would eventually result in the near financial collapse of several countries in Southern Europe and elsewhere within the European Monetary Union. During the next 14 minutes or so, we will first be reviewing what I said in my recording 5 years ago and how the capital markets have performed both since that time as well as over the last 12 months. With the benefit of hindsight, we can finally settle the question that investors were asking back then. That is, should I hang on or should I sell and move my money into bank deposits or GICs? We will also review how most of our clients' portfolios have fared over the same time frames, using our typical balanced portfolio as a proxy for performance. In addition, we will discuss investment strategies for the future. Finally, I will provide a current market commentary and the outlook for the upcoming year, as well as review some financial planning fundamentals. What I said 5 years ago. On the day of my recording, October 6, 2008, the Canadian stock market, as measured by the TSX Composite Index, was down about 7%, and the U.S. stock market, as measured by the S&P 500 Index, was down about 5%. Let me emphasize, in that single day. I began my recording by reviewing some Time magazine covers with headlines that sounded very ominous and terrifying in their description of the unfolding economic events, only to surprise you by noting the content was in fact from a similar crisis in 1990-91. I tried to provide you with some perspective by noting that financial panics and economic crises had happened many times in the past, and each time, both the economy and the markets recovered. I noted how the strong relative performance of the resource-focused Canadian stock market was unlikely to continue in the future. Most importantly, I reassured listeners that past performance is not necessarily indicative of future returns, and that stock market performance was likely to improve in the future. I covered much more statistical material about the financial markets, which are too lengthy to repeat here, but most significantly, I made some major points about how things are likely to unfold and what action steps investors should be taking at that time. Number 1. Central banks are likely to intervene by injecting fresh capital into the banking system to stabilize the economy and the financial markets. Number 2. The hoard of cash being held by individuals and institutions were likely to reflate the stock market. 3. I advised investors not to sell their investments. 4. I noted that this was a great buying opportunity. To that end, I advise that investors make their RSP contributions immediately and to increase the amount of their automated monthly investments. 5. I suggested income-oriented investors temporarily reduce withdrawals to avoid selling at low prices. 6. Finally, I suggested that we should be hopeful and optimistic that with 6.5 billion people living on the planet and consuming goods and services, the global economy would continue to function and therefore the stock market would eventually recover. My comments were not only prescient, they turned out to be timely and the right advice. How have markets performed since the crisis? From October 6, 2008, until September 30, 2013, the global stock markets have rebounded strongly, gaining about 50%. This figure is a composite average of the Canadian, U.S., and non-North American markets. Please refer to the end of this CD for the composition of the stock market calculation. A 50% return over 5 years equates to an average annual compounded return of almost 8.5%. According to the Bank of Canada, this compares favorably to the 5-year GIC rate that prevailed in October 2008 of just 3.08%. Furthermore, it is also better than the less than 2% annual return achieved by the DEX Universe Bond Index. From this, we conclude that the patient investor, who remained fully invested, was better off than the fearful investor who transferred to a bond fund or a guaranteed deposit. How did the Council portfolios perform since the crisis? Council's comparative all-equity portfolio outperformed the blended stock composite over the same time frame by a significant margin. However, the majority of our clients have a balanced portfolio structure with just 60% equities and 40% bonds, which cannot be directly compared to a stock index that is entirely invested in stocks. That said, our clients in the balanced strategy virtually matched the results of the stock market composite with much less volatility. Results over the last 12 months. The stock market composite gained just under 15% for the one-year period ending September 30th, 2013. Once again, the all-equity Council portfolio exceeded this result by a significant margin, while the typical client invested in the balanced portfolio achieved double-digit returns. Complete performance details for all of Council's portfolios are available at councilservices.com. Market commentary and outlook. A year ago at this time, after a summer stock market sell-off of about 8% and a subsequent rally to erase those losses, the predominant concern amongst investors was the impending U.S. presidential election and the impending negative economic impact of the so-called fiscal cliff. The fiscal cliff was a series of automatic reductions in government program expenditures and tax increases that were to be implemented starting on January 1, 2013, if the U.S. Congress could not come to a longer-term solution regarding the country's burgeoning debt problem. As we know, an agreement in Congress was not reached, and so the tax increases and government cutbacks proceeded. To date, the economic impact of this feared combination of fiscal measures is not yet clear. But the U.S. economy has continued to grow, albeit at a very slow pace. The good news is that there has been a modest reduction in the annual budgetary deficit. Today, as I record this message, roughly one-third of the U.S. federal government workers have been laid off as congressional gridlock has shut down part of the U.S. government's operations. If an agreement to increase the country's borrowing limit cannot be reached by later this month, there is a possibility that the United States government may default on their debt, a catastrophic financial event that would throw the world into another major recession. Given that the U.S. dollar is the world's reserve currency, the politicians realize the significance of such a default and are likely to reach a compromise at the 11th hour. What has fueled the recent stock rally has been an increasing commitment from central banks worldwide to continue printing more money and supplying liquidity to the global banking system. The U.S. Central Bank, known as the Fed, suggested at the conclusion of a May 21, 2013 policy meeting that they may begin tapering the monetary stimulus program that is more commonly referred to as quantitative easing, or QE for short. QE has kept interest rates artificially low, resulting in a strengthening stock market and support for the housing market. The possibility of QE ending sent shockwaves through the financial world as all assets lost value. North American stocks fell about 6%, while the fear of potentially rising interest rates hit the bond market hard, knocking down bond prices by about 4%. There was nowhere to hide during this sell-off as even gold and oil prices declined. Even high-yield bond funds, which historically have had little sensitivity to rising interest rates, were negatively impacted. The U.S. stock market then recovered much of that loss through June and July, before declining 5% again in August. Last month, at the conclusion of their September policy meeting, the Fed announced that it would not begin tapering the QE program, which has resulted in a stock market rally over most of the last few weeks. Stocks and bonds. In last year's message, I mentioned that when the dividend yield of the broad stock market exceeds the interest rate for 10-year bonds, it is usually a precursor to a strong move upward for stocks. As noted earlier, the global stock market gained about 15% over the last 12 months as investors realized that stocks were relatively better value than bonds. In fact, bonds, as measured by the DEX Universe Bond Index, have lost about 5% over that same one-year period. The irony is that bonds are supposed to act as a stabilizer and safety component in an investor's portfolio. Unfortunately, the government's manipulation of the money supply has distorted the historical relationship between stocks and bonds and portfolio construction has now become more complex than ever. If bonds can cause losses in an investor's portfolio, where can investors put their safe money to protect their capital? Although negatively impacted after the Fed's May policy meeting announcement, our high-yield bond strategy has still provided reasonable positive returns over the last 12 months. In fact, the summer sell-off in the bond market has created a new opportunity for those interested in high-yield bond funds. Historically, the stock market trends upward at a rate similar to the increase in average corporate earnings. However, most of the gains in the stock market during the past year have occurred as a result of investors paying more for each dollar of corporate earnings rather than extraordinary increases in corporate earnings themselves. This has resulted in a U.S. stock market that is trading at the upper end of its valuation range. I expect this may result in near-term volatility as we move through October and November of this year. While the U.S. market has provided strong returns this past year, the Canadian stock market continues to frustrate. In fact, over the last 24 months, the TSX Composite Index has gained very little on a cumulative basis, earning just over 5% in total. If you hold investments with other bank-owned brokerage firms, chances are they are heavily concentrated in the Canadian market and have therefore done poorly compared to our firm's more broadly diversified portfolios. Comprehensive Service, IPC Securities Corporation. It has now been over 1 year since I transferred my license to IPC Securities Corp, and I am able to offer full security services. There were some administrative wrinkles to iron out during the transition period, but operationally, we are functioning with much greater efficiency than ever before. The vast majority of administrative items and all securities transactions can now be done with a simple verbal authorization instead of requiring written forms as in the past. Operating in a securities environment allows us to offer certain investment strategies not previously possible, such as segregated holdings of dividend income stocks, among others. We also have some unique new private wealth offerings and fee-based portfolio management programs that may offer savings for clients with larger accounts. If you still have some of your money with other firms, now is the time to consolidate your financial affairs with my branch of IPC Securities Corp. If you choose to do so, we will pay for any transfer charges associated with the process. It is not only important to consolidate your financial affairs from an estate planning perspective, it may result in your achieving lower overall management fees. The need to plan financially still exists. With the increased short-term focus on financial markets, many people have forgotten the original reason for investing: to allow you to achieve your financial objectives. This includes short, medium, and long-term objectives. Most Canadians have not saved enough for retirement, and so must accept a downward adjustment to their lifestyle when they finally leave the workforce. Therefore, the need to save and invest still exists and cannot be interrupted by economic distractions. To help you stay on track, we have developed a retirement savings roadmap so we can document and track your progress on an annual basis. For those requiring an income, we have a retirement income roadmap to help guide your withdrawal rate over time to ensure that your capital sustains you over your lifetime. We must meet at least annually to review the suitability of your current asset mixture and portfolio structure. Remember that we also provide estate planning services and a variety of insurance products for your risk management needs. In addition, we can offer a banking service review and travel insurance brokerage for regular travelers. Whenever you have to make a financial decision, call us first. Thank you for continuing to have faith in our services and for being patient during the last 5 years of economic turbulence. Although we expect continued challenges from the capital markets, we have alternative strategies with significantly less volatility that can be utilized to help you attain your financial objectives. Our high-yield bond strategy is just one such example. I encourage you to pay close attention to my letters and webcasts, as this is the best way to monitor your portfolio and other economic developments. As mentioned, an annual meeting is the minimum requirement to ensure that your plan remains on track. If you have not reviewed your financial circumstances with me over the last 12 months, please contact my office immediately to book an appointment. We can meet either in person or by phone. Feel free to pass along this CD to a friend when you are finished with it. We would welcome your referrals. I'm John Soutsos. Thank you for listening. Commissions, trailing commissions, management fees, and expenses all may be associated with mutual fund investments. Please read the prospectus before investing. Mutual funds are not guaranteed. Their values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated. Forward-looking statements in this commentary are not meant to imply any guarantees of future results. Stock market composite calculation. This composite is comprised of the returns of the TSX Composite Index, the S&P 500 Index, and the Morgan Stanley EAFE indices expressed in Canadian dollar terms based on the performance over the noted period of their ETF proxies, XSP and XIN, respectively. Complete performance history for all Council portfolios is available at councilservices.com. Statistics used for this presentation were sourced at the following websites: globeinvestor.com, ca.finance.yahoo.com, and bankofcanada.ca.
To reach John Soutsos, call 905-568-2000 or toll free at 1-888-568-1170. By email at jsoutsos@ipcsecurities.com or visit www.johnsoutsos.com.